You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Jersey Boys Podcast right here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network, powered by SB Nation. Your host, Dave Sturcio, alongside nationally known comedian Brett Ernst is back in the house. And, of course, America's fan, Keith Ernst. Fellas, it's been a couple days. We've been able to digest that ugly, ugly win on Thursday night over the Saints. However, we kind of let the rest of the field play today on a Sunday as we record this. Drops on a Monday. Thank you, of course, for subscribing to this network. And to this podcast in specific, but
why do you call it an ugly win?
I call it an ugly win because the offense wasn't there. Like, they just couldn't get, other than the outside of the Tony Pollard run, like, we really couldn't get anything going. Like, we really couldn't. Like, it was rough, and we scored one on defense. So take those two away. What do we got?
But again, it's a team sport. Like, now, because there were games that we won where, you know, we never called it ugly, but our defense didn't play as well. Our defense played beautiful this game. Beautiful. Yeah,
forced four turnovers to the tight end known as the quarterback Taysom Hill, which they have to get Jameis Winston back next year because this guy is clearly not a quarterback. I know he was banged up. He had the plantar fasciitis. He had the broken finger or whatever the heck he did.
The kid was all banged up.
Yeah, he was messed up. And we did it with, you know, the return of DeMarcus Lawrence. And I've been saying it until I'm blue in the face. And I know you guys can agree with this. You know, the stat sheet for DeMarcus Lawrence isn't always going to read that he's got a zillion sacks. You know what I mean? Like, it's a bigger deal that he's back and he's disrupting the offensive, like, the mojo going for any offense. Right off the rip, he was getting a couple passes deflected and he was doing a great job. So I think the emergence and the return of DeMarcus Lawrence really propelled us on Thursday night. But I bring the question to you guys. You know, pre-bye, this Cowboys team rolled like six games in a row and their offense was clicking. Keith, I'll bring it to you first. What the heck is going on with this offense? And going into the final five games right now, are you confident that this offense can get it going again? Or is there something broken?
Here's the thing. What I brought up earlier is if you look at Dennis Allen, who's the defensive coordinator for the Saints, mm-hmm. This is what he's done to us the last two times. I threw it in the text, but nobody paid attention to me. I kept trying to tell you guys. Every time we've played this guy with the Saints, he has shut down our offense. He has.
It's the truth. Yeah.
First time was 13 points. The second time was 10 points. So I meant we actually beat that this time, right? With 17 or 20. Yeah. Because we're not going to count defensive touchdown. So So I guess that, you know, if you look at it, we did better this time than we have the two previous times against them. And as far as the ugly win goes, I meant, guys, we're still. I don't like that. And I get where you're coming from, but we're still a six win team from last season. Like, what do people expect us to do every week? Let's just win games.
That's what I was. That was my point. Like,
we haven't won a Super Bowl in 25 years. An ugly win. No, we won. We won.
Listen, I'm not complaining about it. I'm unapologetic for a win like that. I'm just saying it just didn't look.
But my point was, you know, coming as a defensive player, why is it when the defense plays phenomenal and the offense stutters that it's an ugly win? But when the offense is killing it and putting up 50 points, and let's say a team puts up 35 or 40 points and we win, everybody's like, it's not an ugly win.
No, I get it. It's
a team sport.
That's a very good point.
And the defense showed up, and the defense showed up big. I will say this, because I was not able, because I was on a plane, to talk about that damn what those refs did to us against the Raiders. It's crazy. And then that call, that behind the back or back block, whatever that was, that they called against
The Saints
was
It was called the blindside block. That was terrible.
Awful.
That was real bad.
And listen, it's not one of those things where I should be happy because the call went our way. This is beyond ridiculous of what these referees have been calling and getting away with. And I don't know if the league is doing this on purpose. I don't know what it is, but I mean, come on. Now, again, we still would have beat the Saints, but that stopped all their momentum.
It did.
That stopped their drive.
That was a drive killer.
That was
huge. We saw today what the Raiders do when the refs don't help them.
You saw that,
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, no, they could barely put up points.
They tried the old Anthony Brown play at the end of the game. Yeah. They threw it up for joy and said, you know what? Referee's down there somewhere. And on top of that, it was interference. Like, his jersey was tugged, and they didn't throw a flag. And I'm like,
there you go.
And then you got the commentators. Like, I'm the commentators, by the way, saying, like, oh, I love when they let the players play it out. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. It's been a week.
Yeah, exactly. I will say that if Trevor Siemian played, I'm not saying that the Saints would have won, but I think it would have been a closer game. I know our defense played great, but Taysom Hill is not that great. Well, he was 3-1 as a starter, but
he runs a lot.
He runs, and he ran for 110 yards. If you look at the stats, they beat us on every category: time of possession, just everything straight down, except turnovers. And those turnovers, only one of them was with Curse, I think, the one with the tip, and he caught it. And you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That one was very athletic. The other ones were just bad passes.
Now, here's the problem.
Terrible passes. So I don't know. If they had a quarterback in there, the way our offense was playing, I would say, that could contain the clock, just not turn the ball over, I think it could have been a different game. I'm not saying the Saints would have won.
Right.
But they could have won.
Look, I think our defense, I don't care. I mean, look, we beat them in the trenches. I mean, we only had two sacks, but we were on them a lot. We were on them. We had four turnovers. You had one that they didn't count, and then you had another one that was a fumble that, you know, if I remember that they called against us.
I didn't like that call. I felt like his hand stopped at the stopping point of like neutral. So I thought it was sure.
Look, I could see that though. I could see that, but we were still causing mayhem.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And Micah Parsons is on pace to do things that, you know, none of us had any expectations.
That kid went from defensive rookie of the year to almost becoming the defensive MVP.
He has jumped into, according to John Machota, I saw an article he posted, according to, I believe it's BetMGM, that he is now in the conversation and has odds to bet on him to win defensive player of the year, not just defensive rookie of the year.
So Dak and Zeke's rookie year, didn't Zeke win NFC player of the year? And then Dak won rookie of the year?
Yeah, it was one of the two. One of those ones.
It was one of the other. The other one.
I'm just wondering. How rare is it for a rookie to win the conference rookie of the year?
Well, no. I'll tell you right now.
I'm not conference rookie of the year. I'm sorry.
Defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll straight up tell you right now because I looked it up because I talked to a couple guys about it and I was wondering. I'm like, has this ever happened? Has this ever happened where a rookie won defensive player of the year? And guess what? Just once to the guy they're comparing him to. Well, I guess you're going to guess it now. So
no, I'm not. I don't know. I was thinking, all right, go ahead. Number. I was going to say Javon Kurse, your boy, the freak. Did he win it?
No.
Cause didn't he have like his rookie year?
He had a hell of a rookie year.
He had a record,
but he didn't win. Okay.
He was defensive rookie of the year, I think, but he wasn't the defensive.
He was a defensive player. Was it LT?
Yeah, it was LT.
It was LT.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the last one to do it. So, as a rookie, so look, he's in the conversation right now. He's wreaking havoc. He had another phenomenal game. You know what I like about him the most, I think, and it's not just like obviously, yes, his sacks have compiled and his stats are incredible. But dude, this kid's motor is like it doesn't stop.
Yeah, he doesn't stop. He never gets tired. It's awesome.
Right? It's like I get tired just watching him from my couch. You know what I'm
saying? You're out of breath right now, Sturge. Right? I'm looking at you.
I would say getting back to the game though, man. Here's what was concerning to me. If we just want to jump right in, because I'm still amped up about why the heck we were not running the ball when we have to kill the clock. See, that's the stuff that scares me. And me and Keith have a friend that's very active in the football world, and Tim, who texted me saying, and this is all about coaching. So my biggest concern is what are we doing? Now, and we can't use the Dan Quinn argument because maybe that was Dak that was calling the play, but how are we passing if we know we're going to go for it? Run the damn ball. We had to get five yards. That was it, two plays.
I think I also want to bounce this question off of both of you once Keith gets back. He's like settling in again. But there's a question I have for both of you guys. Considering that Dan Quinn, right, was the head coach for the night, right, making all those decisions. That means, like, typically when Kellen Moore calls an offensive play, that play has to go through Mike McCarthy's headset. And Mike McCarthy can overall say, no, that ain't going to work. What's your next play? You know, give me something else, or I don't agree. Let's run something else, blah, blah, blah. Because there was no filtering system, does that make you more alarmed about Kellen Moore? Like, he had nobody to tell him no. He just said, this is the play. This is what we're running. And this is what happened. Like, we should have ran the clock out.
Well, what makes you think Dan Quinn wouldn't stop him?
Because Dan Quinn's a defensive guy now, man. I just feel like he ran the Falcons for years. Like,
I'll tell you what was different that we did, and Blogging the Boys pointed this out, and I agreed with them. The kickoff, opening kickoff, we went on defense first. I love that. We've been going on offense.
That's been our MO, other than the Chiefs game, I think, where we started.
So I think that I don't know if we won. Did we win in 11?
We won and deferred.
And deferred, sorry. So I meant that's that right there. Who knows? If McCarthy was there, would we have done that?
I don't know. Well, I think that's the MO, other than the fact that we tried to get out there against the Chiefs and punch them in the mouth first, and then we wound up just, you know, stinking up the joint. But, like, after that, we did it again the following week. I think it was against the Raiders when we got the ball first and nothing happened. You know what I mean? So I think it was to the point where the offense has been stalling out more so than normal, so it was time to start on defense and kind of set the tone there and kind of bring the crowd down, because New Orleans, I don't care how bad the team is, still a hard place to play. You know what I mean? Like, still one of the hardest places to play, one of the loudest places to play.
And listen, man, their defensive front is pretty tough, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, we saw that. And it brings me to my next point, because going into, you know, the Washington football team week, right, we're not off the Saints yet, but I'm saying, like, in regards to our running game, obviously Pollard has that phenomenal break-off speed, sweep left, gone, right? Great.
How long was that?
55 yards, and you want to hear something
so,
crazy?
So wait, if you take that away, because he was whatever. 7 or 71. So yeah, you take that one run away. He's 20
yards, maybe.
Less than that.
Yeah, and that's Pollard, right? And then Zeke had like about 20, 30 yards, right? So, like, that's my question to you guys. And by the way, that was the first Cowboys run of 50 or more yards since 2017. Yeah. So it's been 4 years since we had Alfred a 50-yard run. And Alfred Morris, and I mentioned this on my other podcast, I said that was the last time I went out for a Cowboys game, was that game. I said after that, after I saw a Rams fan, quote, I'm probably using air quotes, a Rams fan cheering for that Alfred Morris run. I said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I got him on my fantasy team. I'm like, I never want to see any of these people again. So, like, I never went back out. I was like, this is it. I'm retiring from going out to watch football. But yeah, so.
Hey, dog, real quick, dog, don't be throwing in personal stories into the commentary.
Sorry,
slowing us down.
Yeah, you're right. I don't want to peel back the curtain too much.
Nobody want to care about what you were at last time you went out, man. This ain't therapy, dog.
Alfred Morris ran, and then this guy was like,
I could never ever go out.
He's on my fantasy team. I'm never going out again. I'm you.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, listen. It's been fun. This has been another episode of the Jersey Boys.
Hey, man. We talking football, dog. We getting to the playoffs.
All right. Here we go.
Washington scares me. All right. By the way.
All right. Well, let's get back to what he was talking about with Tony Pollard and Zeke. So this is what's happening every week, guys. If you haven't noticed, what are they doing?
Well, I wanted to bring this up. Like,
they're having Dak beat us. That's all they're doing.
Right.
They're stacking the box, they're taking the running game away, and they're having Dak beat us. And they did that. That's what the Bucs did to us, and he had a fantastic game that game, the first. But against Kansas City, it wasn't that great. Against the Raiders, actually, he had a good game against the Raiders, but they shut down.
I thought he played a little above average, but not.
It wasn't like show that he had a good game.
Yeah, dude, it wasn't like KC or this game.
He's not crescendoing. look, this is what were you gonna ask? What were you gonna ask, Dave?
I was gonna ask you guys now with this 10 days off, and as obviously, if people are listening to this now, there's only 6 days until the game, right? So we have been off since Thursday night's win. But is that enough time for you guys to think that Zeke can get right as far as healthy? Because obviously, guys, obviously this guy's banged up.
All right. I want to get back to Dak, and then we can answer that question. I thought you were going to ask another question about Dak, and that is Dak's play declining?
Well, I would ask you that since the calf injury.
I don't even know if it's the calf injury as much as some of the reads he's making and some of the throws. Now, again, I don't know how much of that is the receiver, because there was that one where CeeDee turned inside when Dak thought he was going to go outside, you know? But I don't feel like they were running on all cylinders. Like those first six games, even against Tampa, it looked like Dak was just hit the offense was second nature to him. And it just seems like he's not making the throws. He looks like the Dak of the one that I didn't think deserved all the money, Dak.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, as he said, Sturts, though, bro, that has happened. Ironically, I agree with what you're saying after the calf injury.
Do you think that might be it then?
I don't know. I mean, look,
there's been times where I know for a fact you guys watch the same games I do. Like, we could see the lanes. There's something to be said about Dak Prescott not tucking the ball and running. Like, he's not running.
I didn't understand it. Actually, when you sent the text, Sturch, you're like, is he not running anymore? Because he threw it and it was wide open for him to run.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's worrisome because that was part of his game. I know we don't want to deem Dak Prescott a scrambling quarterback, but we want to look at him like he's an athlete and able to move around.
Well, he is. And, you know, I'm more concerned about his reads.
Yeah, I mean, again, some of those – now, I don't know if there's some of it to call play calling. I don't know if you can blame it on the fact that, like, for a couple weeks in a row, we had no Cooper, no Lamb, no Gallup, no this, no that. There was so many interchangeable parts where our number one at one point was Cedric Wilson, you know what I mean, and Noah Brown. And don't get me wrong, those guys as threes and fours, that's where they're going to be for the rest of their NFL careers, I think, no matter what team they play for. Those are serviceable guys, kind of like a Malik Turner. When he comes in, he knows his role, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and so maybe you can chalk some of that up to that, not having your guys, and you know, he's down one tight end, he doesn't have Jarwin anymore, you know what I mean? I don't know, man, there's a lot of stuff, but he's not even like, you know, remember the time, there was a time where we're like, hey, when Tony Pollard gets on the field, and don't get me wrong, he's fantastic, right? He's one of those electrifying players that once he's in space, he's good. But like, remember when we're like, oh, we can bring him and play him in the slot because he's such a good route runner? Like, where's that? Right? I mean, where is that?
I don't know.
Look, I'm not questioning the game plan as much as the play calling.
And
I don't know what the game plan is.
I agree with Brett, honestly, about Dak. How he's played in KC and New Orleans is reminiscent of the quarterback he would bring up that he didn't want getting that money. And that does scare me a little bit, because there was a time when I was on this show saying, bro, he's like, he doesn't have, like, he's not having those. But I get one bad game, it happens. But this is two in a row, or not two in a row.
I don't think he played that great against the Raiders, bro. I know his stats were there, and you think he did.
I don't know. Remember when we were saying, like, the anomaly of November was like the Denver game? That was like the whoa, what the hell? You know, it didn't make any sense. Like, what happened? Now, to me, which is weird, it shifted into the anomaly being the Falcons game, the one we ran away with. Like, then the other games were like status quo and normal, you know, like almost felt normal. Like, what's happening here?
The only thing I'll say, though, about Dak is previously when we saw those games, he never had six games like he had before. So I'm willing to bet that the real Dak Prescott is the first six games we saw him in, or whatever, how many games it was until he got injured before Minnesota. That was the real Dak Prescott, because that I think that there could be something going with play calling or whatever, but I do believe that I think he's going to pick it back up, especially after this 10 days.
Yeah, listen, there's not panic mode here. We're 8-4.
No, we're eight and four.
I mean, look, we dropped the Denver game, which always happens to every team. I mean, no, there's only been one undefeated team, as well, actually two, like I said, the Dolphins and the Pats, who ended up losing in the Super Bowl. So you're going to have these. My question again is, if we're trying to preserve the lead and jump ahead, and we're going to go for it, we need 5 yards in two plays. Why are we passing, which is stopping the clock, and we can't get 5 yards with Zeke and Tony Pollard? Or it's better yet, stop running on first down and pass on first down.
That is a big, big thing amongst, you know, Cowboys Nation on Twitter right now. There is a million and one tweets that come out and say, stop running on first down. That's very reminiscent of Scott Linehan. That's very reminiscent of the offenses that couldn't do anything, right? So, like, once you establish that you're going to run the ball basically every first down outside a couple, you know, you set yourself up for these second and nines, right? And then you throw, and all of a sudden it's third and nine. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it doesn't, it's not a good recipe. I think they need to be a little bit more aggressive, use Dak to the strength. But my question, again, we can talk Dak until we're blue
Zeke
in the face.
Zeke is tender.
Zeke is, something's going on. And like,
well, he's tender,
now,
man.
All right, now look,
I mean,
now we're, the way it stands right now is after this Sunday is played out, which it just did, week 13 is done. You know, there's currently a Kansas City Denver game on right now. With this week being done, the best lead we have right now, or the closest to us, is the Washington football team at 6-6, right? And we're 8-4. So it's a two game separation right now, with two games to play with these guys, right? So now this Washington football team came coming up, like, that's not the time to rest Zeke now. If they were going to do it, they should have did it against New Orleans, right? I mean, there was rumors out there saying they were going to bench him completely last week, and they still ran
him. I agreed with it, remember? Yeah. I agreed with them doing it because they didn't need him, as I said. Well, they may have needed him because he's great in pass protection.
Pass protection is the man, yeah.
Yeah, but I meant Clement couldn't have filled in for that.
He's got he had 10 days off, man. And you know, we played a lot of football in these past 2 weeks, you know? So it's good to get a break. We'll see how he is. I mean, I don't think they're going to bench him.
Now you can't. No. It's a division game. And
look, if we got to win, we got to beat Washington. If we lose, we're in trouble.
Well,
because if they beat us twice, okay, and let's say we beat whatchamacallit, they could easily, if we tie, you understand what I'm saying? We could lose a division to them.
Correct. And that's why I think that they have to have all hands on deck.
Anybody looking at the schedule can tell you that. It's not.
Well, no, I'm saying if they win outright.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, we got to win twice.
We got to win one or two games.
Well, I've been barking that we needed to get to 11 wins, right? That would be the magic number to me.
Hold on. I'm sorry. You're saying obviously, of course, but we have four losses now. We should only really have two.
Okay, all right. But we have four.
Okay, so if we were at this point in the season right now with two losses, okay, this is what I meant. We blew our lead. So we're not as comfortable as a lot of Cowboy fans think we are.
No, not at all.
Right. So let's say we had those two losses. The kids could win outright, or Washington team could win outright, and we could still win the division. We're not there anymore. And a lot of these Cowboy fans are getting comfortable.
I think anyone who watches like NFL, I mean, if they're just sitting back, not watching, because they're bringing it up in everywhere I'm looking, that Washington has a really good chance of catching us and, you know, beating us now.
I mean, look, they're right now, as it stands, the Washington football team are red hot, and it's under Taylor Heineke and the coaching of Ron Rivera and their defense. They're not playing like the defense that everybody was touting about over the offseason, where they're like, oh, they're going to be unstoppable and Chase Young is going to do this, that, and a third. And now Chase Young's not there anymore. So that poses a little bit of a different problem. But we just watched them play the Raiders in week 13. And I'm just like, you know, not for nothing. And my dad made a good point at the end of the game. I said, you know, I was like, I don't feel so confident going into this one. And he's like, they score 17 points. You know, so it's not like they beat the brakes off the Raiders either.
All right. Here's the thing with their defense. Okay. They were ranked 30th. About 4 weeks ago before Chase Young went down. And the crazy part about it, they're ranked 17th right now. So, I mean, they've climbed, which I find, because I thought Chase Young, I mean, that's just weird. I don't know what kind of, maybe they adjusted the defense and not really sure what happened. But I meant right now they have the 17th ranked defense, I believe, or around that. So the with Washington, what they're going to do against us, and this is their game plan. This is what the Raiders did. They're just going to run, and they're going to try to win by the run. Antonio Gibson and whoever other running back, they're just going to pound it and pound it. Try to get to third and threes, and just do Heineken on his little dump passes, and then and hopefully they're hoping that our defense stops us. I mean, their defense stops our offense.
I don't know what that is, but
me neither. But but what I will say about Dak is, how many times has he lost to Washington?
He's got a pretty god darn good record against the
Washington. I want to say once.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
there just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I mean, last year doesn't count because he didn't play. I don't think he played him at all.
He didn't play him last year.
No. So, yeah. So he got hurt. And then the two games happened after that.
So I think I don't know what his overall record is, but it's damn good. So
yeah,
I like our offense going in there because we still have the number one offense in the NFL,
which was nuts when I heard that the other night. I think it was Joe Buck said, he's like, here's Dallas and the number one defense.
Look at what good offenses did to Washington, from Green Bay to Kansas City. Their defense is playing well and good, but I don't know. Dak's not intimidated by him. I mean, they love playing Washington. I really, really like us in this game. I do.
I do too. I mean, again, but I liked us against the Raiders. I mean, we should have won. If the refs don't factor in, but getting back to the other thing, the most important part about this part of the year is specifically momentum. Okay. We've seen this before. You've seen teams that like the Bucs last year. And then you just pick up steam and roll into the playoffs.
They were 7-5. They were 7-5 and went nuts.
We need to turn it on. And now, again, there's not the only team that's really playing exception. I mean, the Rams play great today, but I would say they won a game.
They literally haven't beat anybody.
To me, I feel like the Rams are the most fraudulent of all the contenders.
I was going to say Green Bay. Okay. Arizona. So those two teams that are, and I don't want the first seed, by the way. I don't want a bye week. I want us to keep playing. Okay. Those two teams are the only one that really are looking like they're firing on all cylinders. We're still there. It's like we're there and we're still in purgatory right now. There has to be a second gear that has to kick in, and then there has to be a third gear after that, or I think we just fizzle out.
I mean, here's the truth.
Our defense kicked it in, though.
Defense is playing great, and reinforcements are on the way. According to Jerry Jones and all reports, Randy Gregory will be back this week. So will Neville Gallimore. So will Tristan Hill after his one-game bogus suspension.
The good part, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, we got the bigger boys in the interior, and now you're going to have Gregory, Lawrence, and Parsons. So, look, the defense is something, you know,
let's not forget about the Raider game because the defense was terrible in the Raider game.
Well, like I said, they didn't have any of those guys I just mentioned.
I know, but I'm just saying the Raiders had over 500 yards total offense, not to mention 166 yards penalized. So they had a total of 700 yards, but they had over 500 yards. The Raiders, before they played our defense, couldn't even get to 300 yards.
But a lot of those penalties kept them going.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yes.
But I'm just
in my years as a Cowboy fan, that is the worst I have ever seen. Our team get brutalized by referees.
Not me. It's the second worst I've ever
seen.
What,
the giant one is the other one?
Absolutely.
Which giant one?
When it called a safety?
No, it was not even that. Emmitt Smith caught a screen, and he literally dropped the ball, and they called it a fumble, and the Giants picked it up, like dropped it, and ran it for a touchdown.
Is before the days of review.
Yeah, I'm just saying that was the worst. This is the second worst, for sure. It is the second worst. There's still no excuse for DeSean Jackson torching our secondary like he did
at the ripe old age of 37.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not like, and there is a thing with speed against our secondary,
which I called, by the way. I called that play.
Our secondary, that's the thing that's scary. Tyreek Hill went off, DeSean Jackson went off. There was actually an article by Blogging the Boys that brought that up, that had excellent when they did the percentages with speedy receivers against our defensive backs. So that's something that's a little scary too.
But again, but there's also fatigue. There's also, you know, you stop them and then all of a sudden it's a first down for some bogus call, or, you know, there's a lot of things. I was not as disappointed. I was more disappointed with the offense against the Raiders myself.
That makes no sense to me, Bart.
But you know why though? Because we had many opportunities to take the game away from them. Offensively, and we sputtered. We had three and out.
And we had plenty of opportunities to literally end the Saints in like the third.
That was my next point. And then we were three and out. What, like three times?
Every turn.
I agree with the Saints.
Every time we got a pick or anything went our way, we did nothing with it except for the one, you know, Carlos Watkins pick six, a fat man touchdown. You know what I mean? Like that's a good thing, you know, but like
Thought was a penalty against us. I was like, oh, they're going to take it away. Remember the flag?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the sad part about the NFL, man. You can't get excited about nothing because you got to wait that extra 2 seconds to make sure no icon comes up.
I want to know how, and again, I'm all for celebrating because that used to not be allowed. Like, remember Gastineau would do his sack dance and that was all fun. How is it not taunting when your whole defense runs into the end zone?
You talk about a double standard, man.
But then a guy makes a nice play and he's like, yeah, what are you doing?
I think the thing that they're trying to do, what I'm gathering, and I don't know if the refs know, they don't want that person getting in the person's face.
They're trying to avoid a fight.
Like if all the defense got together and surrounded the quarterback that threw the interception and did their thing, that's what would be taunting. You know, it's like they're going away from – they're like, if you get away from them and you want to celebrate, fine. You know, but you look at – like Brett and I remember the Fun Bunch from Washington. You know, Art Monk, Charlie Brown, all those guys, they would score touchdowns and get in the middle and do their little high five. But the best ever is when we broke it up. Dennis Thurman, all those guys, Michael Downs, they tried to do it in our end zone, and they broke it up. They said it ain't happening here. So even if doing it away from people, it still can be taunting.
Yeah, that gives me George Teague vibes. You know, put this thing on and he's like, yeah, no, that's not happening again. You just popped him. I don't understand. Why can't you just run off to your own sidelines and celebrate?
I just think it's stupid.
Give somebody a turnover chain, dog. You know what I mean?
That's what I said. Oh, here they go. When he scored. Oh, here we go. Bad. What are we doing now? We're bowling. Like, are we bowling? Wait, what's is this a? Are you guys doing a family photo?
You're doing Squid Games, like, yeah. What are you doing?
Yes, that'd be hilarious if somebody was like,
they start playing Red Light, Green Light.
I would do that.
I might be the only person on the planet that still hasn't watched that, by the way.
Could you imagine, bro, if we were like playing then with the way we joked around? What would be like? Squid Games would be good. What would be some of the ones? Starch, we would definitely do wrestling.
Let's do it.
Oh, like, dude. Yeah, that'd be
like
great.
What I would do is I would like if you scored, right? Or you put the fumble, I'd turn you up, like put your hand and everybody, then I turn heel.
Dude, wait a minute. DDT. I know. How many times did you do that in Texas, bro? You kept dropping, you tried to get me in the stunner every time.
Yeah, and then come across like, you know,
in the cross body.
Yeah, but dude, I would do so many stupid stuff.
Oh my God. For a week, I was doing that by myself, and then I was texting back with Jay, and I was like, this is supposed to be an exhibition. Dude,
Squid Games is great. Squid Games is great. What would be another one? You could recreate Rocky 3 or Rocky. What was it? Rocky 2, where we both swing and we'd knock each other out. I'm trying to get up, right? And somebody's going to throw the football in like they're going to throw the towel in.
You could do like a lightsaber fight, and you chop the hand off, like make it the football, like.
Oh my goodness gracious!
But anyways,
there's a lot of mom jokes we overlooked in this one. Let's bring back the fun.
Yeah, we're cleaning it up to a certain extent.
Do the Kobayashi where we're doing a hot dog eating contest.
I noticed you went from moms to that, so that's pretty funny.
Anyway, we got We got the we do have the Washington football team coming up, right? And we are the ones that are kicking off this week. So you're going into this game.
You got I got one more. We pretend we're at Costco and keep the hold of football, and I'll go over like, can I try that? Like, it's a sample. What is
free
is
sample?
That? Yeah, is that a? Do you mind? Do you mind if I try that? And then we take the ball.
You'd have to take your helmet off.
And then you come, yeah. You come back as something else with like one of those glasses with the nose. So, like you're a different person.
Do you? Is that a touchdown? Is that what that is? Do you mind?
Well, you know what they should have now? They should actually have like a consultant on a football team that should be hired to think of things like that.
Let's
just
do
to
that.
Make it more exciting.
I would be all in. I would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just like you know, when you intercept him, you ran to the other end zone.
He's gone. Oh, he's doing the Costco. Do you guys mind? Was that a fumble? Do you mind?
Is that the self-checkout he's doing?
No.
Just got the football.
I'll be there. Somebody's the receipt, that long ass receipt.
Oh my God, he's checking the badge. Oh my goodness.
All right.
Oh my God. All right. So anyway, I'm crying.
You could do the pullover where like you pretend you pull them over, then you beat them up out of the car, like cops.
Jeez. Yeah, that's exactly what the NFL wants to do.
I felt the rails. So bringing it back in, Washington football team. We are the Monday show. So obviously the entire week we'll be talking about the Washington football team here on the Blog and the Boys Podcast Network, and more than likely on our roundtable on Tuesday. But now, Keith, I'll bring it to you. I mean, we've talked about their defense getting better. With our defense playing the way they are, do you think outside of Gibson, do they have anything that kind of scares you? I mean, Heineke's obviously throwing the ball around like Favre.
Well, Terry McLaurin's a damn good receiver, too.
Yeah, but Trayvon
looking
Diggs
with the
thing
that scares me, man, and I know we have a different defense, a different defensive coordinator, is what they did to us last season in two games.
I know.
Because do you remember who we played before? We played them on Thanksgiving, and
I'm your drink of water. Go ahead, Keith.
Why? I'm sweating because of
and we're like, remember who we played? And we were like, oh, this is a win. We're going to win. We have a good chance of winning the division last year after we beat Minnesota on Sunday night.
Bro, you
guys, we were so cocky. And we're like, and we didn't even count the Washington game. We were like, oh, Washington, we got them. No, so who's after the Thanksgiving game? Do you remember what game that was?
Dude, the worst part is, bro, Facebook has this ability to bring up all of your statuses from like every year on that day.
Uh-huh.
You had to hear some of the stuff I was talking last year. Like, if we just finish 6-10.
Who was that day? I forgot, bro.
It was Minnesota. We beat Minnesota on Sunday night.
With the red rifle.
And we're like, oh, if Dalton can beat Minnesota, man, we're going to kill Washington came in and beat the piss out of us on Thanksgiving by running all over us. And our offense couldn't do anything.
Gibson had himself a day. And I hope McKissick, I mean, I don't hope for anybody's injury, but if McKissick's out, that'd be great. But he's another one that scares the Christ out of me.
But I think this is how you beat them. Okay. You, and I know this sounds simple. Let Heineken beat you. That's it. Our offense will take care of itself. It might take a quarter, might take two quarters. Let Heineken beat you. And because take that run away. Because if we do that, we have a very good chance of winning.
I like this kid. I like Heineke, though.
Me too. He's
a slinger. He's a slinger.
Yeah, I like Taysom Hill, too. And I think Taysom Hill is awesome. I mean, that guy's, you know what I mean? I'm just bringing up quarter. I mean, there are quarterbacks I like, but I meant whatever. When they play us, I can't stand them.
Of course not. All right. So, your gut. I mean, Keith, you like them in this game?
I do.
On the road. The Cowboys
on
the road.
I do. 10 days off. It's going to be a good game, I think, at first, but I think we pull away. We pull away, and I
don't know the really opening like line it. Yet. The line will probably come out tomorrow, or maybe even came out. The futures line came out. My assumption is that we're going to be like dog favorite. I mean, dog favorites.
No, we're 4.5-point favorites right now.
Right now. Okay, so we're favorites on the road. I kind of hate that, but that's just me being, you know, kind of pessimistic and just not really in favor of all that. But again, we've done pretty well against the spread over the course of the year. But Brett, your kind of reaction, you think we can get into Washington and actually take care of business?
Listen, I don't know which team's showing up, but here's what I got to say. And again, call me Captain Obvious, but this is really going to, if Dak comes in and plays like he did the last two games, right? Or even last week, and he comes in, I don't think we're going to play well this year. I don't think we're going to go deep in the playoffs. If he comes in and lights it up, I think we will. And I know I don't think that's obvious.
Do you think it's this game that kind
of we're talking about this game?
Yeah, this
no, game. But I'm saying like maybe Brett. No, thinks this is the game.
This is the game because we're on the road. This is a tough game. It's a division game. We got to win. I mean, look, we can still mess up, but coming off of last week's performance, this is going to say a lot. Now, again, anything can happen. I'm going to go with who the Cowboys, who I think they are and believe they are this year. I think we're going to punch him in the jaw right out the gate. I think Dak should have a great game. I think our offense is going to light it up, and I don't think it's going to be a close game.
Wow. Okay.
I don't. Now, again, you got the refs we got to worry about now.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't predict any of that.
Right. So we're saying all the things that you have no control over, if we just go in and play, mm-hmm. I believe in Dak Prescott. I really do. I believe in this kid, and we know how great he is and how great he can be, but we also know how bad he can be. And, you know, he was really – it was like I said, it was like breathing for him with our offense, those nine games or whatever, the first six, seven games. But this to me is a defining moment for the team. And this is the game. I think if you're going to say right now, if we go in and we punch him in the face and we keep beating him and our offense is – and I'm with Keith on this too. We got to play the run. Stop the run. And you know, and I love our zone coverage too. I'm not big on this man coverage. I don't know.
It seems like they get a little tripped up with man coverage.
Yeah, it does. And you know, and a lot of guys jump patterns because, you know, they're playing for turnovers.
That's like Diggs' MO, yeah.
But then we got, like you said, we got Gallimore, we got Gregory, we got Lawrence, we got Parsons. I mean, we should just go up front, get that pass rush on them, and stop, play the run, get the pass rush going, play more zone. And then I personally think we're gonna take this one. I'm like going maybe 35-17 type win.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, I want to have the same confidence. The offense has been scaring me. Obviously, it's scaring everybody as far as their ability to start fast. I think that's what needs to happen. They, just like you said, I'm on lockstep with you as far as what I think is the recipe to win this game, as far as like start fast, punch them in the mouth, score early and often. I get that. It's just a matter of, can we, you know, is this offense capable? Like, we have the players that everybody thinks that we have as far as, you know, Dak Prescott at the helm, and, you know, you got the running game, the way the running game is. And obviously the receivers, all three will be back and healthier. Amari Cooper, one more week past all the COVID stuff. So he's going to be healthier. You know, that's it. That's really all. Yeah. I mean, that's the offense that we came into this year with, and that's the offense we got to ride out with. Now, before we wrap this up, I do want to ask you guys, bold prediction from afar, based off of what you've seen for the last couple weeks, where, you know, we've tripped up a couple times, we've come out completely flat. We got five games to go. We're 8-4. Okay. What is your ceiling and what is your floor? So what do you think the worst the Cowboys can do? And what do you think the best they can do in the last five games? And that'll kind of wrap up to see where they're at as far as seeding. Do they win the division? You know, it's different. There could be a completely different ball game within the next 3 weeks, because we got the Washington football team twice, in which if we take both of those games, this division's kind of a wrap. So
I want to, all right, before we get to that though, I want to make one more point.
Sure.
Okay. So we saw what, and you know, I was okay with the Denver game because we needed that. Yeah. Every Super Bowl team needs a game like that.
Sure.
Then to bounce back like we did. Okay. And just put a hurting on Atlanta. Right. Then you're like, okay, this is our team. This is the team. But then what happened after that, you're like, well, wait a minute. Where was that off? And then what we're seeing now, we are not crescendoing. So, you know,
there's a shirt to be made, by the way.
I know, but we're not crescendoing. And this is the game where, like I said, we got to skyrocket this game, man.
Is crescendoed a word?
I don't know if it's the same crescendo, right?
But I'm just saying, like, have you crescendoed? Like, it's past tense.
I don't know, like, because in music, a crescendo starts low and goes high.
But then you can't say, hey, if we were to win the Super Bowl, could we make shirts that say crescendo with the Dallas, like, Dak on there, or?
Well, we could
we finally crescendo.
We have, and you know what? At least we'll buy, me, you, and Brett will buy one, and then we have one really, really loyal fan over in the UK who actually just has literally, you don't understand, like, he's commented on like random Blogging the Boys stuff with just like they're not crescendoing. And I know it's paying homage to the Jersey Boys podcast, which is
fantastic. That's why we're going to keep saying it.
Yeah, of course. You got to beat it over the head.
You know what? I think the worst case scenario, we win 2 out of the 5. Worst case.
So that would finish 10-7.
Right. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Keith?
Here's what I'm afraid of, too. I'm afraid that we're going to play the Cardinals and act like that's our season. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want that to happen either.
I think this isn't being talked about enough. And I think, you know, I'm not sure why. Like, you're looking at the standings right now, 1-4, right? We're there's 5 games left. We're 1 game behind the 2 and the 3, you know, right. And 2 games behind Arizona. So, like, we can get to that Arizona game. All Arizona has to do is slip up once in the next 3 weeks, and then we can play them head-to-head and beat them, and all of a sudden, then what? Yeah, I know you say you don't want the first seed, but, like...
I would rather just keep the division, come in hungry, come in crescendoing, and just start throwing haymakers, man. This, again, we need momentum. At this point, we need to start momentum. If we don't get momentum coming up, you know what I mean? I think we fizzle out, man. And you know, that's my fear. I see Arizona getting momentum. They're getting a lot of momentum.
I felt like the fizzle out was actually starting, and then they won and they beat New Orleans. So then that kind of, for me, that changes it up a little bit. Like, all right, this defense... Like, there's been teams in the NFL, we've seen this time and time again. Look at the 2000 Ravens, right? That offense was junk, right? But Ray Lewis and company and Ed Reed, all those guys, they won that Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, there's different.
But you teams. Need something to turn you on. There needs to be something that you hit that ignites those boosters and you take off, you know?
I hear you.
So, again, this game is more important to us than I think a lot of people realize. I don't know. I don't watch sports stuff. I don't watch any of the stuff you guys do. You weigh more than me. I don't know if they're talking about it, but
it's bad for your health. You're not missing anything.
But I'm saying, I think this is a defining game. This is the most important game of the season right here coming up. And it should not be taken lightly. If we could dominate them in Washington and, you know, just give a great performance, that we're going to need that going into the following week against the Cardinals.
Well, no, the Cardinals wouldn't be until week
I'm
seven.
Sorry. Who's after
January 2nd?
The Giants.
Which I don't want to go in there and just beat them up. I don't care. Like, that's not going to impress me. Does that make sense? Like, we could say we play crappy this game, and then we go in and beat the Giants. We're back. No, we're not. It has to be a constant like this.
So you want us to just catch fire like the Bucks of last year? I guess.
Yeah. That's what you got to do.
I'm with it, man. Trust me, I'm with it. So, Keith. Floor, ceiling, what do you think, man? You mean these last 5 games, 4 of them being within the division, which are going to be obviously tough no matter who it is. I don't care if it's Mike Glennon, Daniel Jones, Tommy Lee Jones, don't matter, man. Like, the Giants are definitely going to give us a run just like they always do. The games against Washington are nothing to sneeze at. Jalen Hurts will be healthy at the end of the year. Kyler Murray said we were ass, and there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff.
And Minshew played really well today, by the way.
Listen, I would love nothing more than to have a quarterback controversy out in Philadelphia. Trust me on that one. But look, there's some tough games on the schedule ahead, man. What are you thinking?
So, as I brought up last episode, when I said that the main reason I thought we would win is because Super Bowl teams, if we are one, they don't lose 1 out of 4 this late in the season. They just don't.
Right.
Okay. And we won that game. And I'll be honest, if somebody had a gun to my head right now, that's my famous line, I would say we win every game all the way out. The only game we would lose is maybe how we lost to Philly when we rested Dak and Mark Sanchez came in. And remember in 2016 when Romo had his last drive.
Right.
You know, if we rested our starters, I don't know if that would happen. But I can see us winning every single game, including an ass kicking on the cards in Dallas, which what Brett said is kind of true too. That might be a bad thing though, because then they think that's their Super Bowl. Oh, look, we just beat the best team in the NFC. Look at us. So I don't know. But regardless, I'm not saying that would happen if we beat them that bad, but I can see us definitely winning every game. Worst case scenario, losing 2.
Do you want the number 1 seed, guys?
No.
I want the number 2. I want
3. I want 3 or 4.
Well, you don't want, I mean, to me, you don't want 4, because 4, you would, and I'm not talking about just the Rams in general, but 4, you're getting the best wild card game. Like, you're getting the number 1 wild card in your building. And I just feel like that would just
look, if
recipe
if you,
for disaster.
If you
I don't
could
know.
Guarantee that Aaron Rodgers would not come to our stadium, I would take the number 1 seat.
Well,
that's the only way I would take that, it. Otherwise, that's why I don't mind Green Bay having it, because if Green Bay were to lose and we're the second seed, you know what I mean? Then now it's good. Now it's good for us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so look, I meant I don't want Aaron Rodgers coming by us.
This Washington game is more important and more, I think, deciding on where we go. If this game, if we come out and even if we won like we did this week,
if you look at them, bro, though, if you go through their schedule and see whenever they played a legit offense, and I know this is a rivalry, that's why I'm not that worried. From Tampa to Kansas City to Green Bay, which are statistically we're better than, they in the fourth quarter they were done. The Washington football team couldn't keep up. So this is on our this is on our defense to see how good our defense actually is, because that run their run offense is going to come out strong. And so if we can stop them.
Gibson had himself a day against the Las Vegas Raiders in week 13. So, you know, they're hitting a stride. They've been winning games left and right. They're feeling themselves right now. The Washington football team are definitely feeling themselves, as far as they're on a nice little streak here. They're a 500 team. You know, a lot of people had these guys winning this division. Let's be honest. That's how they wrote into this season. They thought Washington would be the team to beat. Clearly the Cowboys got off to the hot start that they did, and now we're in a position where we can kind of put the foot on the throat.
We got to send a message, and that's it. You got to send a message this game, and then you can't let them get hot. Everybody's, you know, it's so funny too. Like, we're still 8-4, and people are just seething for us to choke.
Oh,
and you know, and they talk about our losses, our wins, as if we lost sometimes. And when, you know, you've got other teams that aren't even playing that well that they're trying to hype up. Right.
Right.
So I think it's time for the Cowboys to send a message, man.
Yeah.
And let Washington know, you know, we owe them for last year too.
Yeah, we do.
We owe them big time, man.
Remember what they did to Dalton when they knocked him out and nobody did anything to? And that was in Washington. But I want to make a correction. I was wrong about the Bucs. They actually, Bucs only scored 19 points against them, and that was a couple weeks ago, so we're screwed.
And they beat the Bucs, by the way.
They did beat the Bucs. So on that, on me bringing that up.
Whenever they play a good team, they lose. Oh, except when they play the world champion Bucs, they beat them.
they're like that, like, contender that, like, you know, you don't know what Washington's capable of. Like, you know what I mean? Hey, listen, it's a defining game for them too, man. This is I love this.
Yeah.
As an old school Cowboy fan, I love this. Getting that rivalry back. I'll be honest with you. Nothing sucks more than when our division was a dumpster fire and nobody cared about any games. True. You know what I mean? It really did. I loved and respected hating the Redskins of the 80s. And now, you know, they're the Washington football team. But, dude, I haven't felt this way about them in a long time. And last year, they really, really embarrassed us.
Yeah,
and this team has to remember that. Again, this is what I would tell them.
And that's that's a Mike McCarthy led team too. So it's not like it's a different coaching staff or anything like that. They beat up and embarrassed a Mike McCarthy led offense and a Mike McCarthy led Cowboys team
twice.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes, man. It's going to be interesting. But
Cowboy, punch him in the mouth. Come right in. Smack him right in the face.
And who said we couldn't be the hype boys anymore, right?
Yeah. No, go in there and just send a message to everybody. And when they're laying there on the ground, you take the phone and go, "Hey, everybody, look. This is what we do."
Leave him for dead. I'm with you guys. I'm with you. So, big week coming up. We want to thank you guys again for joining us here on the Jersey Boys podcast. Next time you hear from us, we will be previewing or going into another Giants week, which we should get your boy on, by the way, Brett. Your
Jerry.
Sal. Or Jerry. Yeah, I mean, you get Jerry or Sal. Isn't Sal a big Giant fan?
Which Sal?
Wait, was that his name? We went out to the Cowboys game with.
Oh, Fat Sal.
Fat Sal, yeah.
Yeah. We
get
him on. We'll
try to get him on. All right, but anyway, well, that's next week. Let's focus on this week. Let's go, Cowboys. For Dave Sturcio, Brett, and Keith Ernst, this has been another episode of the Jersey Boys Podcast here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network. We'll see you guys next week. Let's go, Cowboys.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more, strengthen security posture, and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox. That's VANTA.com/vox for $1,000 off Vanta.